Book of Ruth, chapter 2. Book of Ruth, chapter 2. Read verses 15 through verse 19. When she, Ruth, was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an epha of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her what she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take advantage of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The name's man with whom I wrought today is Boaz." I want to focus upon Ruth. We have preached from this passage on a few different occasions, and we do so again because it serves as a reminder of something that must be a part of our everyday life, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. In this passage, Ruth is an example to us, an example of abundant living in the midst of distress. Call your attention to verse 18. "And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned." What she had gleaned. And then in verse 19, she asked the question, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" So we have what she gleaned, and we see where she gleaned. To glean, of course, is to gather, to obtain, to get. And what is gleaned, of course, depends much upon where we glean. So we see here again, what and where. And that is our subject, what and where have you gleaned today? What you glean depends on where you gleaned. Well, first of all, just a little background to the book of Ruth. Of course, it's set in the context of the book of Judges. We learned that from chapter 1 and verse 1. The victories of Joshua had been followed by a period of spiritual declension, a departure from God, great waywardness and faithlessness and permissiveness, a time of rebellion. You can read all of that, of course, in the book of Judges. It were the dark ages of Israel's history, and as a result of this, we come to the book of Ruth, and we see it was a time of famine. It was a time of famine, a time of great suffering, a time of continuous need. So the setting of the book is established there in chapter 1 and verse 1, and we read of a famine in the land. And then we read of a Jewish family that lived in Canaan, in the town of Bethlehem, Judah, which means the house of bread, God's place for God's people. And this family, not because they had to, because we read in Ruth 1, verse 21, that Naomi says, "I went out full." It was a time of famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, but she went out full. So they move to Moab, Again, not because they had to. And Moab was the enemy of God. And so this family of Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, we're told. But in verse 2 of chapter 1, we read, they continued there. And we know the story. Elimelech would die in Moab. His two sons would marry Moabitish women, which was against the command of God. The women they married were Orpah and Ruth. And in the meantime, the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died, and they died in Moab. And now Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi, somewhere along the line, decides to return home to Bethlehem, Judah. And Orpah and Ruth decide that they will follow her. Naomi tries to talk both of them out of following her and tries to talk them into staying with their families, stay in their homeland. And she assures them that I have nothing for you. I have nothing to offer you. I have no more children, so on. Orpah returns. She goes back to Moab. But Ruth is committed to following Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, and she does. And we come to chapter 2 and we see Ruth and Naomi arriving in Bethlehem, Judah. And we're told in chapter 2, verse 1, that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. We read in chapter 2, in verse 2, that Ruth said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn. Again, that was established under the Mosaic system. The poor could go to the fields and glean. But in chapter 2, we see Ruth, poor and a stranger to Bethlehem, Judah. She's a Moabitish woman. But Boaz, who is a type of Christ, takes very special notice of Ruth. And after Ruth had gleaned from morning until mealtime, Boaz invited her to come and partake of his table. And that's where our text picks up here in what we've read this evening. So we want to see Ruth gleaning. The very foundation of her successful gleaning was the fact that she was surrendered and committed and dedicated to Naomi's God. We see that in chapter 1. And we see that she set no limitations upon her dedication. She said that she would follow Naomi, Naomi's God, unto the grave. And it says that she was steadfastly minded to go. That is, she is determined. She is very committed. She's focused to go all the way, to leave Moab, to leave her home, and to go to Bethlehem, Judah. And she, of course, is set in contrast with Orpah, who was willing to go part of the way, but then she went back to Moab. Orpah was not dedicated like Ruth was. She wasn't committed like Ruth. And this commitment, this dedication is foundational to our subject, which is gleaning. If we're going to be a successful gleaner, this has to be the foundation. We have to be willing to follow the Lord all the way. All the way to death. No limitations, no boundaries, all the way to death. So Again, we want to look at Ruth as she gleans. In chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and his name was Boaz. Great possibilities existed because of this kinsman, because of this man by the name of Boaz. We see he's a great man. He's a very influential man. He's a man of prosperity. He's a man of great substance. And as he had treasures, he had possessions. He had resources. He was a man of great abundance. The name Boaz means by strength, or strong one. And it is the name of the left pillar of the temple. There in 1 Kings 7:21, we see that the left pillar of the temple was called Boaz. Again, meaning strength. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, is our Boaz. He's our Boaz. And just as there was something special for Ruth in Boaz, the Lord has something very special for us in Christ. Now, is that just some of the time? Is that just when we get to heaven? Or is it every day? I believe it's every day. Every day, the Lord has something special for you and I in Jesus Christ, just as great possibilities existed for Ruth because of Boaz. So great possibilities exist for you and I because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, of course, there is treasure. There are resources. There is abundance. There's strength. There's comfort. There's peace. There's assurance. And on and on and on we could go. All fullness dwells in Him. And this, whatever changes take place in our life, has no bearing upon Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstances we're going through has no bearing upon Jesus Christ. Nor does it change the possibilities that exist, all because of Jesus Christ. So Christ not only has what we need, but He has something especially for me every single day. He has something special for me. He knows exactly what I need. We must not view this in a general sense. We must view this individually. Just as Ruth saw that there was a possibility that existed all because of Boaz, and Boaz had something special for Ruth, so it is for you and I today. Jesus Christ has something special for us every single day. The possibilities and hope that exist because of our Boaz, because of Jesus Christ. So she was committed. That's the foundation. Secondly, she saw that there were great possibilities. Are we aware of the possibilities that exist for each one of us every single day? All because of Jesus Christ. Great possibilities. We see that Ruth realized, since these possibilities exist, she realized that there was some gleaning to be done. Now, in the context of the information provided in chapter 2, verse 1, which is Naomi had a kinsman, a mighty man of wealth. In that context, Ruth says to Naomi in chapter 2 and verse 2, "Let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him." After him. Naomi, you read chapter 1, "The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." People did not recognize her when she came back to Bethlehem, Judah. They said, "Is this Naomi?" such Moab had left its marks upon Naomi. Naomi is basically exhausted. She's tired. She's depressed. She's worn out. She's bitter. And basically, she's pretty much content to remain that way. She's basically returned to Bethlehem, Judah, to just die. But Ruth realizes that there was corn out there. Naomi has nothing. Ruth is with Naomi. She has nothing. But because of this man by the name of Boaz, Ruth realizes there's corn out there. And for you and I that are saved, there are blessings every single day. There are treasures every single day. And we see Ruth realizing that there's corn out there, she wants it. She wants it. Do we want it? Do we want what God has for us in Jesus Christ? That's really the question. If you had seen Ruth going out that day, walking down the road, you would have seen a young lady that has no idea, really, of how she was going to be treated by the people of Bethlehem, Judah, how she would be treated by the reapers. She has no idea what's going to happen. The only thing she knows is there's a man by the name of Boaz, and there's corn out there. So she leaves. And God directs her. Again, she has a desire for this corn, and God directs her to where she could glean the most. Again, if we're committed to God, we're following God, God will lead us where we can glean the most. And that's what he did with Ruth. Now in verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, "And her hap was to light upon part of the field belonging to Boaz." Great possibilities exist for us every day because of Jesus Christ. And there is plenty to be gleaned. But again, that's not the issue, whether or not there's plenty to be gleaned. There's plenty to be gleaned every single day. And none of us ever glean everything we could on a given day. I don't believe we've ever had a day where we've gleaned everything we possibly could for that day. There's so much. But she goes, so the issue is not whether or not there's something to glean. There is. The issue is whether or not we want what the Lord has for us every single day. Are we willing to pray that the Lord lead us to the place where there is the most for us to glean? And then Ruth, realizing these possibilities, she has a desire. We see she put herself in a position to glean. She didn't sit home with Naomi. She goes to the field. And she put herself in a position to glean. We must do that every single day. We must put ourselves in a position to glean. There is plenty to glean because of Jesus Christ. But we must put ourselves in a position to glean every single day. Now notice in verse 5 that Boaz took special notice of Ruth. He said unto his servant, "Whose damsel is this?" So he notices her. He notices her. And we see the answer in verse 6 and verse 7. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel they came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And he tells Boaz what happened. He said, when she came, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So the reaper is telling Boaz what happened when Ruth came. She came to the field and she pleaded, let me glean. Let me glean and gather after the reapers. She had a desire. She had a longing to glean. Something is wrong with us if we do not have a desire, if we do not have a longing to glean. God has great treasures for us in Jesus Christ every single day. And something is terribly wrong if we do not have a desire to glean what the Lord has for us on any given day. So she pleads, let me glean. That ought to be our plea every single day. Lord, let me glean. Let me gather. Let me obtain what you have for me in Jesus Christ this day. It ought to be our plea. Again, great possibilities exist for us every day because of Christ. And again, there's plenty to be gleaned. And oh, what desire we ought to have to glean in the field of Boaz. There must not only be the realization that there's plenty to be gleaned, not only must there be the desire to obtain it, but we must put ourselves in a position to glean. If she's going to glean, she has to go down to the field and glean. And that's what she did. So she came, verse 7, and hath continued from the morning till now. And as you read those words, there seems to be a tone of amazement in those words. She hath gleaned until now. She's been gleaning for several hours. She has endured toil. She has endured fatigue. She continued to stoop for each ear. She continued to gather ear by ear. And she's been doing this for hours. It's hard work to glean. She has to stoop down, pick up, and not drop what she's already gleaned. And she's been doing this for hours. She's willing to do whatever is necessary to glean, to gather what the Lord had for her. And again, no one can glean well who cannot persevere. Which gets us back to the foundation, which is commitment and dedication to the Lord. If you're committed to something, if you're dedicated to something, that gives you the ability to persevere. People try to persevere who have no dedication, who have no commitment. You're not going to last. So again, we get back to the foundation. We must go on long after we're weary. Don't you believe that Ruth is tired? Again, gleaning's hard work. And she's tired. But she continued to go on. She put herself in a position to glean. We must do so every single day. She also remained in the field of Boaz and remained focused upon that field. In verses 8 and 9, Boaz draws nigh unto Ruth. He speaks unto her. He doesn't speak unto her as a stranger. He says, daughter, daughter. He says, my daughter. So there's a special affection. And then he gives instruction to Ruth. He says, go not to glean in another field. Ruth, there's a lot of other fields. Don't go glean in another field. Neither go from hence. You glean right here. The Lord had led her to that place where she could glean. And there's no need. There's no need for her to go anywhere else. And notice what he says to her. He says, but abide here fast or firmly. He is saying, don't even be tempted to go to another field. Don't even be tempted to go anywhere else. There's plenty to glean right here. And then notice in verse 9, he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. She was to be focused upon that field. If you hop from one field to another, you're not going to be a successful gleaner. He says, you stay focused on this field. You be attentive to the field where she had been led, where God had the most for her to glean. You stay there. If God puts you in a place where there's plenty to glean, you're pretty foolish if you look at another field. And that's what Boaz is telling Ruth. Be focused upon gleaning. So we have to realize there's something to glean every single day. We put ourselves in a position to glean, and then we must be focused upon the gleaning. There's all kinds of things to distract us from gleaning. We must not lose our focus. I have to obtain today what God has for me in Jesus Christ. That needs to be our focus. The circumstance cannot deter us from that. Whatever happens cannot deter us from that. That needs to be our focus. And again, that brings us back to the foundation of commitment and dedication to the Lord. It's not hard to be focused if you're dedicated and committed. The problem today with God's people is they're dedicated and committed to about 200 things, which means you're not dedicated and committed to anything. And they fail to glean. They fail to obtain. They fail to get what God has for us in Jesus Christ. And again, none of us glean everything that we could. But there are some who, I'd be surprised if they glean anything in a given day from Jesus Christ. And then we see Ruth had a spirit of worship. And if we're going to glean like Ruth did, we need this spirit of worship. In verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take advantage of me, seeing I am a stranger? She's humbled. She's worshiping. She's thankful. And again, the more we glean, the more thankful we become. Too many people are gleaning in the wrong field. Too many people are gleaning in the hog pen. And they're missing what God has for us in Jesus Christ. So she had a spirit of worship. She had a spirit of thanksgiving. She had a spirit of humility. And that enables us to glean. She had a reverence. She had a love for Boaz. But then notice, she had communion with Boaz. Notice verse 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, remember, she came in the morning. Now it's mealtime. My workday is 6 o'clock. Now it's noon. She's been at this for several hours. And it's mealtime. And Boaz said unto her, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. That is, he passed it to her. And she did eat, and was sufficed. So she has communion with Boaz. You remember Naomi's question? And she said, I have gleaned with a man named Boaz. She's with him. She's with him. He passes to her some corn, and this would enable her to continue to glean. What is it that enables us to continue to glean, to pick up one ear and then another ear and then another? What is it that enables us to do that? It's communion. It's fellowship with Jesus Christ. That gives us the strength to continue to glean. So she has fellowship with Boaz, and there she finds strength, and there her desire grows. And we see that she continues to glean. Notice verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, she got up from that table. She's already been at it for several hours. And she got up from that table and she went out to glean some more. That's what communion with Boaz will do. That's what will happen when we spend time with Boaz. I'm here to tell you, even if you think it's a good day, it is a terrible day if you did not spend time with Christ, with Boaz. You might have had all kinds of fun, but you wouldn't have enjoyed it as much if you had enough sense to see what you lost that day. We need to spend time with Boaz, and when we do, we glean some more. We see also she paid attention to and was aware of what Boaz dropped for her. In verse 16, after she has eaten with Boaz, Boaz gives this command, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. He says, drop some on purpose for her. For her. For her. I believe the Lord still does that today. He drops blessings on purpose for me. For you. Again, this isn't a general sense. For her. For her. Purposely drop for her what she needs. Drop it right in front of her. That which will benefit her. Drop it right in front of her. I believe every day the Lord does that. Every single day. He does that. He drops what will be good for us. What will profit us. What will feed us. He tells the reapers, let these things fall where she is. Right where she is, where she can glean them. Notice what it says. And leave them that. Leave them that. So she can glean. So she can gather them. Leave them right where she can get them. Right where she can obtain. And I believe the Lord does the same thing in our lives. God has something for us every day. I don't believe there's ever been a day that God has not had something for me in Jesus Christ since I've been saved. Every single day. And He drops them on purpose for us to gather. We have to gather them. Nobody was picking it up for Ruth. They dropped it. They dropped it where she could get it. But she was the one that had to stoop down and gather it. And had she not done that, she would have lost, as we do. God takes notice of you and I, just as Boaz took notice of Ruth. And He makes sure that there are some things dropped on purpose from His hand in our path just for us. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. Dropped on purpose, with purpose, from the very hand of God. Precious things. Things that will help us. things that will encourage us, things that will strengthen, comfort, and bless us. And they're dropped on purpose, specifically for you and I, to glean, to obtain, to take, and to gather. That's our privilege as God's people. That is a privilege that we have as a people of the Lord. Handfuls of purpose speak of abundance. It also speaks of personal love and interest. That Boaz would say, drop handfuls on purpose for her. That's a special interest in her. That's a special love for her. And the Lord does that for you and I as well. Handfuls of purpose speak again of opportunity for you and I. Opportunity to stoop down and to gather what God has for us. But Ruth, if she's going to glean what's dropped on purpose for her, she has to be aware. It's been dropped right there. She can't be oblivious to it. She can't be indifferent to it. And that's what happens so many times. People are oblivious to the blessings that God drops right in front of us every single day. The opportunities that He drops right in front of us every single day. And they will say, well, I didn't see that. The reason you didn't see it is because you weren't looking. Because it's pretty obvious. It's right there. It's right there. So she could not be oblivious or indifferent. She sees it's dropped, but she doesn't feel like stooping to get it. She has something else on her mind. She has somewhere else to go. And does that not happen to us often? God drops it right in front of us, but we're in a hurry. We got to do this. We got to do that. And what do? We walk right past the blessing that God has dropped for us. And even worse than that, we trample upon it. How ungrateful. Had Ruth, these reapers are dropping on purpose right in front of her, how ungrateful it would have been for her to just trample over that. Yet that's what we do many times. It's what we do many times. You have to be willing to stoop in order to glean. And you have to be willing to do it a straw at a time. The general rule was a straw at a time. Oh, occasionally they might gather four, five, or six. But the general rule is a straw at a time. That's how to glean. A straw at a time. And at the end of the day, you have an abundance. You have an abundance. Then notice, lastly, Ruth did something with what she gleaned. It doesn't do any good to glean if you don't do anything with it. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even. She started in the morning, and now it's the evening. And beat out that she had gleaned. She did something with it. She did something with it. She beat out that she had gleaned. And then notice it says that it was about an ephah of barley. Now that's very interesting, and we've pointed this out before. In Exodus 16, verse 36, an ephah was 10 omers. Was 10 omers. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, glad you asked. Exodus 16, verse 36. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah, and an omer of manna was adequate for the daily needs of one person. It says there in Exodus 16, an omer for every man. An omer of manna for every man. It was sufficient for one person. She gathered 10 times that. She gathered 10 times what was sufficient for one person. That's what you call being spiritually rich. 10 times. And oh, what we would gather were we to glean what he drops for us. All the abundance that would be ours every day. And then she goes home, of course, and she shares it with Naomi. The sad truth is this, that many of God's people don't even glean what they need for a day, let alone 10 times what they need for a day. And then she was able to share with Naomi. She ended up being a blessing to Naomi because of what she gathered. And then you see, with great amazement and wonder, Naomi asks in verse 19, "Where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou?" It's a good question. It's a good question to ask ourselves every day. Where hast thou gleaned today? Many glean in the world all day long. Gather straw by straw. Oh, and they get an abundance of the world. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Where wroughtest thou? And Ruth's response was this: "The man with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Now notice, the question was, where hast thou gleaned today? She says, "The man I gleaned with is Boaz." It wasn't the where, it was with whom. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. With whom. So what she did was, what she's telling her mother-in-law is, "I spent the day with Boaz. I spent the day with Boaz." What a wonderful way to spend the day. "I spent the day with Boaz." Orpah never gleaned where Ruth did. Orpah never gleaned what Ruth gleaned, because Orpah never left Moab. She never left. So she never gleaned. She never had this experience that Ruth had. A lot of people never glean because they never leave Moab. Never leave. Again, these are important questions. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Can we say with Ruth, "The man's name with whom I wrought is Boaz"? What a wonderful way to spend the day with Boaz. And I believe that's our privilege every single day. We may have failed miserably today. Perhaps we didn't spend the day with Boaz. Perhaps we were oblivious to everything that God dropped right in our path. But God's so gracious, He gives us another day. And He does the same thing all over again. We have another opportunity. The problem is that most of God's people, or many of God's people, carry their failure over today to tomorrow. And they just continue on. Pretty soon you have years, you have decades. Oh, that we realize the privilege of a day. Every day God gives us, I have opportunity to glean. Every day that He gives me, He's dropping something in my path. I have to be aware of that. I have to be aware of what He's dropping in my path. And as I'm aware of it, I can stoop and gather straw by straw. And you may not think you're gathering a whole lot straw by straw, but at the end of the day, she had 10 times what would suffice one person. God help us to glean every single day. God help us to realize the privilege that is ours every single day. Perhaps when we get to the judgment seat, we will realize what we've lost, what we could have had, had we only stopped and stooped and picked it up. God has left so many blessings for you and I. And He does it on purpose. He doesn't accidentally drop anything in our path. He purposely drops it right where we can get it. That's a gracious God. That's a loving God. How foolish we are if we don't stoop to glean. And how foolish I am to pass that up for something else over here. How foolish. Because whatever's over here doesn't compare to that one straw right there. Guaranteed. Oh, it might look better over here, but I guarantee you that one straw that the Lord drops on purpose for you is better than anything over there, over there. We need to stoop. We need to pick it up. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.